For you that are visiting with us, we're in a series that we've entitled Understanding the Times That We Live. We live in difficult times, strange times, the strangest times that have ever been. We are right here in America. We look around and we've seen things happen that we never dreamed would ever happen in our country. We've seen all kinds of things. Today, if you haven't heard, there was a beheading this morning of another aid worker by ISIS. And we do live in strange times. Our Bible teaches us that Jesus can come at any moment and that it is imminent, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We have looked at a variety of things concerning the times that we've lived. We've looked at some red flag issues that we need to be aware of. We looked at those. And we looked at the great falling away that would take place before His return. We talked about the rapture. We've talked about the tribulation period. And we've talked about the nations that would rise up against Israel. And the Bible declares who they are. We've talked about the devil and the devilish trinity, which is made up by the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. We've talked about the tribulation period and some of the events that would take place during the tribulation period. This has not been a verse-by-verse study, but we've just talked about some of the subjects that are going to be taking place during the tribulation period. We've talked about the false church that would rise up. There will be a one-world government, a one-world church, one world money system. That would all take place. But it all is going to wind down to the end, to where we see the starting of the Second Advent. The Second Advent is a very unique time. The Second Advent starts with the return of Jesus Christ. The first advent came when He first came back. The first advent does not end until the second advent starts. And you say, well, the rapture. No. He hasn't come back yet. He doesn't come back until the end of the tribulation period, the 7 years, and then Jesus Christ comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today, our subject is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to turn in your Bible. I'm going to give you two or three verses. You might want to find these, and we're not going to read them immediately, but we'll read them pretty quick. You might find Acts 2, and just stick your finger there, ribbon of your Bible or pencil, whatever you got, and we'll be starting with that verse. Then you might find Revelation chapter 16 and chapter 19. And you go, well, why are we going to deal with both? Because one is the Antichrist. Did I say 16? Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and then Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And then find this one, and we'll be turning to this one because it's an important verse. It's prophetic. Zechariah. You go, where in the world's that? That's where the pages are stuck together in your Bible. It's where the minor prophets are. When you get to Malachi, go back a little bit, and you'll find the book of Zechariah. And we'll be there. All right, you might want to take out a pencil, write some of these verses down because you'll want to read them when you get home. Now, please don't get anxious. I'm going to try to finish this message today. So when the clock gets at 12, I'll let you know it's 12 o'clock. I always do. But don't get anxious because we've just got a little bit we need to say today. So listen. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. Amen. How many of you agreed with that? All right. You listen fast, I'll preach fast. All right, Acts chapter 1. is where we want to be. Acts chapter 1. And let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says, starting with verse number 10. This is after Jesus had had His earthly ministry. He's getting ready to go to heaven where He is right now. The Bible says in verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." In other words, as they saw Him leave, He's coming back the same way. And we'll be able to see Him come back. Father, bless now this effort of preaching. Guide us through this time. And Lord, we sure need Your help today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest events that will happen in your life is when your grandchildren start coming. How many of your grandparents in this room? Let's see. Boy, isn't that a great time? That's a wonderful time. I remember our first grandchild was coming, and I remember Angie was expecting, and we were just waiting and anticipating the arrival of our grandchild. And here come old Hannah Joy. Boy, she was such a joy to our heart. We spoiled her to death. That's what grandparents are supposed to do. Just spoil them to death. And we did just that. We spoiled them. And just loved our grandbaby. We were anticipating her coming. Today, we've talked about the tribulation. We've talked about the rapture. We've talked about all those events. There's an event getting ready to happen that the world's anticipating. The world's looking for it. The earth is looking for it. And it's when Jesus steps His foot on the Mount of Olives at the second coming of Jesus Christ. As He comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ left. When He finished His earthly ministry, He was born here as a human being. He is God in the flesh. He lived a life down here for 33 and a half years. He had a public ministry. He died for the sins of mankind and went back to heaven. That's what we just read about, Him going back to heaven. One day, our Savior's coming back the same way. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse number 4, it says this, "And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it towards the south." Jesus said this about His second coming in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. He says, "And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Jesus is coming back. The Bible tells us that. There's a lot of, let's say, theological grappling over when different things will happen. Like some people are saying, well, I think the rapture might happen in this year or that year or this year. Folks, nobody knows but God in heaven. He's the only one to know. And we can sort of grapple about some of the things that are going to happen during the tribulation period, exactly when they're going to happen. But there's one thing for sure. No theologian alive grapples about the return of Jesus Christ, because it happens immediately right after the seven-year tribulation. He will return personally. He will return as the Son of Man. It will be literal and visible. Now understand this. There have been those that have tried to discourage a belief in His return. There have been many. We talked about the kingdoms and we've talked about the empires that have been since Nebuchadnezzar. And we all know in Daniel it talks about the empires of the great statue of Nebuchadnezzar. We've talked about the Roman Empire, but you know there's other empires that are going to take place also. The Roman Empire, went up to about 324. And then you go into the Byzantine Empire. Then you go into the early Muslim Empire, and that lasted till about the year 1099. Then the Crusaders. And then you have the Mamluk, which is a Muslim empire that took over that land of Israel. Then you come to the Ottoman Empire, which was an empire that controlled Israel, and it started in 1577. You know what they did to discourage a belief in the return of Christ? They put cinder blocks throughout the eastern gate, to discourage anybody from coming through there. They filled it full of concrete. They also built a graveyard on the other side of the gate to desecrate so that Jesus couldn't walk through that gate. Folks, if Jesus wants to walk through that gate, I think He'll walk through that gate. Huh? I don't care what these folks that have tried to discourage this. When Jesus comes back, He's coming back physically. He's coming back literally. He's coming back in glory. He's coming back with His angels, with His saints. He's coming back with His church folks. He's coming back with the Old Testament saints. Folks, when Jesus comes back, He's coming back with His army. The angelic host will be there, and His foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And understand this, He's coming back in triumph and victory. And the Scripture promises us that that glorious day will come. And there will be a day when Jesus comes back and totally takes over. In fact, many of us know the Lord's Prayer that is called in Matthew chapter 6. There's a part of that prayer that says this, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's that time. Understand this, Christ is coming back. Turn to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 19. And notice with me what the Bible says about His return. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That is a description of the return of Jesus Christ. You go, boy, that's not what I expected at all. Well, folks, He was the Savior. He is the Savior. And he, folks, praise God, people can come and be saved and they can accept Christ as their Savior. But you know, one day, he said, "All right, it's time. I'm coming back. I'm God. And these people down here have been rejecting me long enough. I've had enough." You realize right now, when Jesus went to that cross, and when He hung there, when He died, He paid for your sin and my sin. He paid for our sin. And one day He's coming back as the King of Kings. His army will be following Him. And understand this, as Satan is breathing out things against Him and threats and all of this, and the armies will assemble in the plains of Megiddo, and the armies will be standing there, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes back, and His saints are following Him on horses, and the angels are there. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Andrew, can you imagine? Man, I can't even start to think about how that's going to be. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, you might turn over there. You go, "What is this?" Well, this is not a description of Jesus coming as King of Kings. This is a description of the Antichrist coming, how He comes. The Bible says in Revelation 6, verse number 14. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. I apologize. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. "And I saw..." Nope, that's not it either. Boy, I apologize. Verse 2, I'm sorry. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to be conquered, or and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red and powerful." Well, that's talking about the horsemen of the apocalypse. The first one is the Antichrist. And he comes back, and he does not. He is riding a horse, but he does not, is not described as our Lord. Notice when Jesus comes back, the terror that's going to be on the faces of the army behind the Antichrist. Look what it says in verse 14 of Revelation 6. "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" I'm telling you, the world's going to see Jesus in a different light. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, what's it say about Him? Well, it says in Revelation chapter 19, as we look at His description in verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." You go, "What is that?" Well, that shows that He's faithful. God's been faithful for years and years, for centuries, to present unto man hey, folks, do you realize this? Listen. There's only been one plan of salvation. One plan. since Adam. One plan to get saved. People come to God the same way. Yeah, well, I heard other churches say this or that. Well, folks, that's what religion does. There's only been one way to God, and it's Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And boy, we need to understand that. He's true. And he's faithful and true. And folks, the Antichrist has deceived. He's done nothing but to deceive. Do we realize that when he comes back, look back there in Revelation 19, look at verse 11. And he sat upon him, was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You go, what is that about, Brother Ron? Do you realize he is omniscient? You go, what does that mean? It means he knows everything. Nothing can be hidden from him. He can see in you. He knows your very heart. He knows your very soul. He knows your very being. You know why? Hey, he made you. He made you. He created you. And he's going to look in the very hearts of men. He's going to look in the hearts of those men standing there ready to fight him. Then notice what it says. It says he's faithful and true and righteousness doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Do you realize when it talks about his crowns, that's a kingly crown. Crowns. Oh, the Antichrist will be wearing a crown. And it is the victor's crown. And the Antichrist will have a little victory at the start. But then he's going to come face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus is going to put him in his rightful place. He's going to thump him good. Amen? And realize this, he's going to have a rod of iron. And the Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire and his head were many crowns and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood and the name is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ. Bible is very clear here. And the Word of God says in Revelation 19, look at verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. There it is. That's the scepter. That is the scepter that declares, it identifies him as the King of Kings. And understand this, that the Word of God says that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back as the King. There's a story of Queen Victoria going to a place of worship, a chapel, and she was talking to the chaplain and here's what she said. She says, oh, how I wish that the Lord would come during my lifetime. And the chaplain said, well, why would you wish such a thing? You know, you being queen and everything, why would you wish that? And just being a little bit of inquisitive there. And here's what she said. The queen answered, I should so love to lay my crown at his feet. You realize no one, no king, no empire, no kingdom can stand against him. Satan can't. The Bible declares that he's the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And notice what's in verse 16. And he hath in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be those that are standing there to defy him. They've taken the mark of the beast. And they're going to be there in defiance. They're going to be there because they've rejected God and they're standing up for the Antichrist. They're in the one world church. They're involved in the one world government. They've defied Jesus. But he's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody will be able to stand. Teddy Roosevelt made a comment, and he got this from Africa, from a quote, a proverb from Africa. He said, you always do this. You speak softly and carry a big, big stick. We probably ought to remember that as a nation. But that's what you do. Notice behind him, back there in Revelation 19, look at verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. That's everybody in heaven. They're following him. Folks, does that not speak to you as a sign of strength? Does that not speak to you that there are all the angels? I mean, Lehman Strauss said this about it. He said this, it is quite possible that this includes the Old Testament saints, it includes the New Testament saints, it includes the church, and the saints of the tribulation period. In fact, in Zechariah 14:5, it says, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. All of them. I mean, everybody's going to be there. From all ages, they're going to be there. We're going to be clothed. I like what it says in verse 14. And it says, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and clean. Boy, there's nothing like being clean, is there? When I was a boy. Oh, it's just gotten past 12 right now. See, we're moving good. We're coming to the end. When I was a boy, how many of you were raised on a farm? Kathy, you were raised on a farm? How many remember what a number 7 pan is all about? Number 7. If you know what a number 7 pan is all about, raise your hand. Number 7 pan is what you take a bath in when you live on a farm. Outside. So you don't bring in any of your yunk and the junk. That's where you get hosed off. How many remember getting hosed off outside before you came in to take the bath? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Riding that tractor for 10 hours? Huh? I'm telling you, you talk about dirty. It's so funny to watch somebody been riding a tractor after 10 hours. They smile, and their teeth are white, and they're covered in dirt. That's where you get hosed off. It's going to be so wonderful there. We're all going to have these clean white robes on. And see, please understand this. These clean white robes we're going to be wearing, they're pure. And this is not something you've earned. This is something that has been imputed to you because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has made you righteous because of the blood that he shed on Calvary. He's the one that's done it. He's the one. And understand this. The one that spoke the world into existence over 6,000 years ago. I mean, He spoke the universe into existence. At Armageddon, He's going to come up against Satan. He's going to come up against the Antichrist, the false prophet. And my Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "And then shall that wicked," or the Antichrist, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." He's going to say, "Satan, be done with thee." He's just got to do it with the sword of His mouth. And it's over. You realize that's all He got to do to those armies. It's over. It's done. He that spoke the universe into existence, do you not think He can look at Satan and say, "You're a dead guy"? It's over. It's done. He who made you out of a pile of dirt. Huh? Adam, Eve? He made Eve a little more special. She was taken from the man, but from His heart. A rib from close to His heart. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? That's what He did. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, I imagine every soldier there that's on the opposite side. Don't you imagine, Brother Gerald, they'd be quaking in their boots? What have I done? Why would you want to stand up against Him? I mean, we thought the guy we're following was bad. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. And as heaven opens, as all the world sees who He is, boy, that verse come running to my mind in Philippians 2. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. They're going to realize that they're in the very presence of God in heaven. That they're there. And understand this, that Satan will try. In fact, he's going to be thrown in the bottomless pit. And He's going to be there, and He's going to stay there for 1,000 years as Jesus rules down here. We're going to preach on that next week. Satan's going to try. In fact, he's going to send forth those that would give counsel to the other military, and the demonic messengers will come. In fact, you want to read about them, it's Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. It talks about the spirit, they look like frogs. They're going to come. And they're going to try to get another army to stand up against Jesus. Hey, Jesus has just wiped them out once. Do you realize this? In fact, this other army comes, do you realize when Jesus comes, there's going to be a great earthquake like it's never shook this earth before? Do you realize there's going to be hailstones fall that are going to be the weight of a talent? Back in the days in the Old Testament, a talent was 93 pounds. In the New Testament, a talent was 100 pounds. Can you imagine a piece of hail hitting your car that weighed 100 pounds? Ah! I'm telling you, that'd make your old jalopy a more jalopy. Huh? I like what David Jeremiah said. He said this. He said, Jesus is coming back for a threefold purpose of His judgment, to finish His judgment of Israel, to finalize His judgment of the nations that have persecuted Israel, and to formally judge all nations who have rejected Him. And that's very true. Tim LaHaye said this, when Christ consumes all before Him through the earthquake, the lightning, and the sword that proceedeth out of His mouth, not only will the holy land be destroyed, but the entire country will be literally flooded with blood because of this battle. The fate of the Antichrist, the fate of Satan, they're all going to be cast into hell eventually, where they'll dwell forever and ever and ever. You go, I don't like preaching on hell. I was looking at the U.S. News and World Report, and they gave a little bit of statistic on that. They said 78% of Americans believe in heaven. 78. They said 60% believe in hell. 60%. I was surprised at that. They said, but only 4% think they're going to go there. Only 4%. In fact, there was a lady preacher that they polled her, and they said, what do you think about hell? And she says, oh, my people. Well, here's what she said. My congregation would be stunned to hear a sermon on hell. Her parishioners, she says, are upper middle class, well-educated, critical thinkers who view God as compassionate, loving, not someone who's going to push them into eternal damnation. Well, folks, that'd be wonderful. It's wonderful to deny it. But we can't be all ostriches. You can't just go stick your head in a hole in the ground and say it's not real. It's real. And there is that place. And it is called hell. And I know I don't want to go there. And I know one day Jesus is going to come back and He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth that's going to be full of peace. In fact, my Bible says in the book of Isaiah that time when Jesus is ruling, that the animals are going to be at peace with one another, that a lion and a lamb can sit and eat together and not each other. That a child can play on a snake's den and not be harmed. You say, when is that time going to be, Brother Ron? When Jesus comes back. Please understand this. He came back as a child. Or He first came as a child. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's Jesus. He came. He lived His life. He died on the cross. He left. One day, that verse will be totally fulfilled, and it says this, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. One day He's coming back to set His kingdom up. And one day He's totally taken over as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me close with this. We all one day will face death unless the rapture occurs. Everybody in this room looking at me right now, listening to me, will face death. On the other side of death's door, we know, is eternity. You've got to prepare for that time on this side of the grave. God supplied a plan through coming to Jesus and receiving Him as your Savior. He's the only one that can save you. The Bible clearly says there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If we'll accept Christ and what He's done on Calvary, we can be saved. Our sin debt will be paid. And then you'll have something to look forward to when you step into eternity. Everybody in this room, again, let me repeat, everybody in this room will face death. Let me read something that I thought was a real blessing out of a book Paul Chappell wrote. He said, a Christian doctor was attending to his dying patient. Can you tell me, doctor, what is on the other side of death's door? This is what the patient asked. The doctor knew his patient was a Christian and therefore had heaven to look forward to. Yet the doctor was sort of puzzled by this question. And there was a quiet time there where there was no answer given. After a little bit of silence, the two men, as they sat there looking at each other, the two men heard something scratching on the door. The doctor said, do you hear that? This is my little dog. I left him downstairs when I arrived, but hearing my voice up here made him impatient to be with me. He has no idea what is on the other side of this door, but he knows that I am here. And so he wants to come in as well. Isn't it the same with you, sir? The doctor said. You don't know exactly what lies on the other side of that door called death, but you know one thing. Your Savior's there. And He'll be there to greet you. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved today? Do you know Him? Are you sure?